Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very great welcome to you this morning from Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's currently 72 degrees in Greenville, Spartanburg. In fact, almost everywhere in the upstate, Clemson, Anderson, downtown, 72 or 73 degrees. Today we're going to have partly cloudy skies with a chance of showers this morning, then mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon, highs in the mid-80s. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of rain is 60%. So if you're making your way out to work today, be sure to be prepared for some wet weather that might arise. And we have today, what's today? 13th of July, 2005. Glad you've joined us. Hope this is a broadcast that's helping you to think better. You know, so much ignorance out there in the world today. We have to combat. My oldest son is a student at North Greenville College here in the upstate of South Carolina. And he's been taking a number of courses and encountering for the first time. Remember, he was a homeschooled student, studied under his dad as well as on his own for his entire life, and showed up from college at this place at age 16. And now he's taking a class from an English teacher. Now, before I go on and tell you about the class, the English departments of the world are some of the most liberal, some of the most left-wing, leftist in academic environments there are. Philosophy departments also are, cultural studies, anything with the word studies in it is, and for the most part the social sciences. They are bent on a non-Christian worldview in general. Well, this is a woman who's teaching a course in the summer, and she is apparently bent, from what my son tells me about the debates in class, as are most of the students, bent on a leftist worldview, or at best a neocon worldview. And this is at a Christian college, folks, one that's even purported to be a generally good Christian college. When you find this sort of thing happening, you realize that the ignorance out there is just appalling, and we have an important role to play here at Christian Worldview, when we are also when we write articles for the Times Examiner, for anywhere else for that matter, getting an opportunity to share the truth with people. Part of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to transform the world. The gospel is not merely the Romans road of preaching the gospel to somebody and saying, you need to be saved, you know, friend. Don't you realize that Christ died for sinners? And look at you. You're living a life of wickedness, and you will land yourself in hell one day because of your actions and your bad behavior. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Him. If you want to have eternal life, you need to take up your cross daily and follow Christ through faith, by grace, and trust in Him. You need to repent from your sins, trust Him as Lord and Savior, and move on forward with your life. That's the essential truth of the gospel. But God's kingdom does not only transform souls of men, it also makes a transformational effect on all of life. We can affect all of the institutions, unless those that are completely diabolical, like kiddie porn firms and public schools and abortion clinics, things like that. We can't possibly influence those things, because the only way to influence them is to simply shave them off the face of the earth, raise them, do away with them. But most other things in the world we can make an impact on. And whether it's politics or public policy or even business or science, we can make a genuine impact that is helpful for people and that is useful for the kingdom of God. We can show Jesus Christ's principles and the principles of God's word in our lives, the way we live, and in how we conduct our business and our affairs and how we think about things. And this has to be true also about public policy or about how we wage warfare, for instance. Now, I've written recently several articles on the Second Amendment, as well as the one that's coming out in today's Times Examiner, Rights and Just Wars. The next 3 weeks, including today, at the Times Examiner will be my articles on rights and just war. Well, from a Christian point of view, for example, we have to have a different stance on the Iraqi invasion than you're going to learn at North Greenville College from English professors. It just has to be. She's, people think they get a PhD in English and all of a sudden they can deconstruct the world. And I'm using that word because they're into deconstructionism, where the text doesn't mean actually what the writer intended it to mean, but what the viewer thinks it means. It never has an absolute or objective meaning, just a relative one, depending on the changing circumstances of the times or the reader's mind and the filter of his mind. Well, at any rate, the proposed idea that we could go over to Iraq and then wipe out as many people as we want to, simply because Joshua was told to wipe out the Amalekites or wipe out those in different cities and not even leave anything, kill all the livestock included, allows us to drop nuclear bombs is absolutely preposterous. We are not the nation of Israel. George Bush is not Joshua. I hate to tell you this, folks. He is not the arm of the Lord holding up the staff and just telling the Israelites, the Americans, to go over there and wipe these folks out. America is a pagan nation. It's a nation built on secular humanism with principles that no longer reflect the gospel of Jesus Christ. Used to be, but not right now. It certainly is not right now. There are many, many folks here who are Christians, but there are many, many more who are not. Remember, folks, most people vote for Al Gore and many still would. And on top of that, we find that people vote for George Bush and get hoodwinked by him. When we go over as Christians and engage in warfare, we have to do so as a matter of self-defense only. We don't go over to other countries just to be an imperialist tyrant and rule the world or be the cop or set the standard or show off some kind of righteousness. We cannot do that. We must not do that as believers. If someone attacks us, someone tries to take away fundamental rights, yes, then we can indeed defend them, because the fundamental rights are what bring us peace in the world. Did you know that? Let me digress for a moment again. Without life, liberty, and property being guaranteed, what do we have in life? What happens to societies? You say, well, how should we know, Dr. Coben? Well, you should have a little glimpse of it because it's being eroded so quickly in America. But it's easy if you simply study history. Go look at the Soviet Union. Look at communist China. Look at what happened under the various dictators, the czars of Russia, for instance, or the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the Ottoman Empire. Look what happens in Africa, and in the past I'm talking about, in even presently today. When you have any kind of totalitarianism, any kind of socialism or communism in effect in the world, in any society, you have several things occur, and Mises outlines these so well in Human Action, and I'll try to remember how he puts it. The result of these kinds of collectivist and socialist systems is the following: war, poverty, misery, chaos, mayhem, the loss of property, and dilapidation of the environment. How's that for seven things that come from collectivism and socialism? Always. War, famine, mayhem, chaos, poverty, dilapidation of property rights, and dilapidation of the environment. Those are what you get when you collectivize things, when you try to institute the Bill of Rights that George W. Bush is putting forth or promoting in Iraq when he's so-called spreading democracy. If you want to fight for peace, if you want to be one of those who fulfills the commandments of God in this world and promotes peace, according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of those that make a peace, as says James in chapter 3, verse 18. Paul tells us, the writer to the Hebrew tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, 14, let us pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We have an obligation to pursue peace, be peacemakers in the world. How can we best do that? We best do that in a social sense, not just by preaching the gospel. That is fundamental. Have to do that. Not denying that, folks. You've got to preach the gospel, and really Christ is our ultimate peace. There's no question. But as far as Christians doing business in the world or occupying until Christ returns, as far as Christians continuing to spread the kingdom through all areas of life, we can sow peace by promoting life, liberty, and property as fundamental rights. When those things are promoted as fundamental rights, we have the greatest opportunity for peace. Why? Because with those societies which have respected private property, those societies which have respected life and have not enslaved the population, those societies have been the greatest progenitors of peace in the world. I didn't say perfection. I didn't say that you can get around man's sinful nature and problems from time to time. I'm saying that if you're going to have a comparative system Which one sows the greatest amount of peace in the world? It's those societies which respect private property rights, those societies which do not enslave the population or conscript them into phony wars to promote government power and imperialism, and it's those societies which promote the right to life, which has already been deteriorated here in America. So, how can you be a peacemaker? Ask yourself the question again. Well, this is what my topic of my articles are. You sow peace by fighting, believe it or not. It's paradoxical, but sometimes you have to fight the enemy and get life, liberty, and property as our rule here in America. And, well, folks, this is not what George Bush is doing. He's over there in a phony war. It's a war for his friends and the oil buddies. I don't know. Maybe it's just a war for his own greed and lust for power to spread democracy, whatever the New World Order is. Spreading democracy is just communism. That's all that that Iraqi Bill of Rights represents. It would make Lenin and Marx and Mao just jump for joy as they could see the text of this Iraqi Bill of Rights. And George W. Bush is perpetrating this. We're going to talk more, a little bit more about just warfare when we come back. I think this is an important topic for a Christian worldview show. A lot of times we spend times on news stories here that relate, but every once in a while we want to get a little bit theological, a little bit right to the point. After all, this is Christian worldview, and we want to help you think better and have a Christian worldview. And when we come back after this break, we're going to do that a little further.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've been talking about Christian action in terms of promoting peace in the world. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. James 3:18. We talked about this verse and others. The way Christians sow peace in the world is not to be pacifists. It's not to support the neocon line and just be docile, quiet folks that go off and obey and do the bidding of George W. Bush or a nefarious Congress that's denying and defying of the Constitution. And similar, we could say similar things about the Supreme Court. Instead, it's one who actually upholds the rights to private property, the rights to keep and bear arms, the rest of the Bill of Rights, as well as the rights of liberty and life. That is the way we promote peace in the world, even if we have to fight for it, paradoxically, as I said. When we go over and invade another country, we're doing an act of aggression. We're denying other people the right to life. How would you feel? What would you think about some other nation, be it China or Russia or anybody else, coming over to America and saying, we need to liberate all those 50 million babies that are being slaughtered, have been slaughtered? Well, we can't liberate them. They're dead. But the next 1.5 million and the future 50 million that will be slaughtered here in America. So we're saying you're doing this immoral genocide, and we're going to show up on your shores, and we're going to liberate them by annihilating your dictatorial leader, George W. Bush, and we're going to go ahead and annihilate a bunch of other of his cronies and friends the same way that we did to Saddam Hussein. Would they be justified in doing so? You better believe they would. In fact, in some way, Christians should be saying, hallelujah, if that many people can be saved by eliminating an evil government. But why is it different if it's us and not them? Some of you are just shocked to hear that I would say such a thing. Dr. Coben, you've gone too far. This is America. I mean, we can't just, you know, behave that certain way. Listen, what is the justification for us to be involved in Iraq and their affairs? Now, you can make a case, maybe, for going and helping a friend and assassinating Saddam Hussein and some of his cronies. You might be able to make a case for that because he wasn't a Hitler, but he was certainly a mean, bad leader, a guy who does terrible things. But you can't justify sending an army over after a slippery fiend like terrorism when there's no terrorists in Iraq. There weren't any terrorists in Iraq at any rate. Just topple a regime, pull billions of dollars over there, lose 1,700 or 1,600, how many other people have been killed between, especially in Iraq, but I don't know how much the total is if you add Afghanistan, killing, you know, dozens of people every week where tens of thousands of Iraqis have been killed, and tens of thousands of them are innocent people that had nothing to do with Saddam Hussein, were poor, oppressed people in general. They've been killed. What would happen if those same 10,000 people had been killed here in South Carolina? Let's say that somebody showed up at Charleston and started marching up towards Greenville. And all of a sudden people were being killed right and left as we tried to defend ourselves. Or as the army came down and tried to hold off the aggressors. And innocent people were killed. Nuclear bombs were dropped. How would we think about this? Why are we so sure? Well, this is obviously wrong. We're America. Well, what's the difference, folks? These are people trying to live their lives as well in Iraq. You can't just go aggress people, attack them who haven't done anything to you. Even if you can make a case for knocking out Saddam Hussein, you cannot make a case for killing innocent people. Now, I know that in a warfare, a just war of self-defense, and that's the only kind of war that is just, is one of self-defense, innocent people can be killed accidentally. And this is certainly something that can occur, and it's a regrettable and horrible thing. It's a horrible byproduct of war. And I don't know any other way around that possibility of accidents. But when you use weapons or methods where innocent people are unavoidably, that's the key word here, unavoidably killed, like when you're dropping a nuclear, biological, or chemical weapon, a weapon of mass destruction, then you as a Christian have to oppose it. If you cannot press the button as a Christian to do this. You are a murderer when you do this. People who have not aggressed you do not deserve to die. There is no Joshua today. George Bush does not have the mandate of God to go and kill off all the Amalekites and slaughter them as they were in the Old Testament. We are not the nation of Israel. We do not have a right to do these kinds of things. When we do so, we are sinning. We are murderers. Period. We cannot behave that way. Oh, but Dr. Coben, think of all the people who would have been killed if we didn't drop the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. This is ridiculous logic. The idea that you can go and kill hundreds of thousands of people, just wipe them off and say, well, I'm going to kill all of them so that we can preserve some of ours, as if ours being our nationalist pride kind of thing, our people are different than them, and those people are of an inferior class and better them than us, better their dad than my dad, is simply a sinful thought. God has his people everywhere, and if you're a Christian, your people is not the United States of America. You're not a brother to Al Gore or Bill Clinton or George W. Bush. Your brothers are anyone who confesses the name of Jesus Christ across this globe, and you can't go and attack them especially. There's no way that you can fulfill the law of Christ and kill your brethren. And he says he has people in every nation, tribe, and tongue. Those people who were killed in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, probably there were many, many of them who were believers in Christ. You cannot do that. You can't even attack other people and do that, because Galatians 6:10, as much as depends on us, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Friends, brethren, you have to start thinking like a Christian. You have to put on your thinking caps and think tough. It may be a little difficult, but as a Christian, you have a moral obligation to think differently than the world thinks. You have to evaluate public policies, foreign interventions, and the different ideals of people like George W. Bush through the lens of the Bible, through the lens of the principles of Scripture, and how you should conduct yourself in this world. And when it comes right down to public policy, you need to not stand with America first, you need to stand with Jesus first, and you need to oppose the worldview of those who are against Christ and against his means. You are listening to Christian Worldview, can you tell? And we'd like to make a couple announcements before we go to the quick break here. Call in and talk about this, by the way. 864-244-8177. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meetings at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street, downtown Greenville. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And by the way, that 6:30 business meeting is tomorrow night. Hope you can attend. Prime Sirloin across from the Greenville Mall on Woodruff Road in Greenville. And we'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
And we welcome. Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Let's try that again. We welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We have our first caller on the line this morning. It's Paul calling from Georgia. Paul, we'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Another great show this morning.
Thanks so much. Yeah, we're riled up here today. Anytime my son gets hit by a bunch of liberals at a Christian college who talk about, or neocons, they don't think they're liberals. They think they're conservatives and doing God's work. Well, it riles me up for the next morning, especially when I've just written writing on the idea of rights for folks. But anyway, go ahead, Paul.
Okay, kind of makes you wonder why you're sending them there in the first place.
Yeah, it really does, doesn't it? I mean, I know that any school you go to, you're going to get some bad eggs. You know, no matter how good you pick the school to be for them to study, they're going to end up having a bad class. And I found that, actually, it's better because he stands up for the truth in that class against all the other 15 students. He says they're all a bunch of neocons, Bushites, former military people that have been indoctrinated with what they're doing in Iraq and the professor herself. But the other classes he has so far had up there, all right, have not been of that variety. And so it's better when you're at least getting a Christian worldview from a few class, from most of your classes. And then when you get a bogus class, you actually have an opportunity for target practice. You stand up
and personal development.
Yeah, right.
Character development, a lot of things, sure enough.
Yes, exactly. Well, we're hoping so, because I hated going through those courses when I was doing my doctorate. I had fascists and people that were Nazi kind of people. One guy actually stood up and said, Hitler had the best economic plan we've ever seen in the history of the world. He said, yeah, I think we ought to abort everybody that the committee decides should be aborted, or even just euthanize them. I mean, he was terrible.
Well, I guess he liked the Pharaoh's public policy also, you know, the pyramids and stinks, all those work projects.
Right.
Keep people busy, you know, busy for life.
Well, that's all.
Shoot them after they're done, you know, so they don't have to go on Social Security. Whatever you just said, I'm sure they had some kind of. I wouldn't say Social Security. You know?
Well, that's right, but you're right. That's funny. But any rate, the point is, when I had those courses back at college, I look back on them now joyfully because I have all sorts of stories to tell, and I was glad that I had an opportunity to stand up for the truth, even though it cost me a lot. And I think he'll have the same thing. But anyway, that wasn't the main reason you were calling. Go ahead.
No, I was going to call you about something I actually was maybe wanted to disagree with you about, though it's unusual. But you're talking about bombing, you know, the nuclear attacks by Truman. And if you are against that because, you know, that we should have stayed out of the war and, you know, we shouldn't have... coerced Japan into attacking us in the first place, or perhaps Roosevelt withheld information from his admiral, so Pearl Harbor happened in the first place. Well, then I agree. But once you know, if that's your reason, I agree with you 100%. But if you think the war is justified, and then and not necessarily not using what weapons you had to save the troops, you know, your troops, then perhaps I disagree with you. I was wanting you to clear that up.
Yeah, that's a good question to ask. Yeah, from a Christian worldview point of view, our troops are the church, the gospel, the messengers, the people from all kindreds, tribes, nations of the world. We don't have an American view of things as if a nationalist church exists. And therefore, our primary responsibility is to protect those people, even above and beyond other people in our own country who might be pagans. And we never have a right as Christians to kill innocent people. It doesn't matter that we might say we're going to save more of our people, our American people, if we kill off more Japanese people. It's never a justifiable cause from a Christian worldview point of view. So no, we could not. Although I agree with what you said on the other things about being deceived by FDR and so forth. That is also true, as far as I can tell. What we can't do as Christians is support any kind of mass destruction of human life innocent human life, even especially not through an indiscriminate bomb like a nuclear bomb.
Well, could you not make a case that they weren't in that they weren't, you know, I mean, sure they're innocent, but they also weren't innocent because they were letting their government, you know, have a war of aggression. You know what I'm saying? That's like the citizens of this country aren't innocent, letting George Bush do all the, you know, all the things you've mentioned and worse, and letting our courts, you know, we should be up there with pitchforks and, you know, and cardboard signs and saying, you know, these things are just illegal, wrong, counterproductive. All the socialist schemes that the country or the government has, or the people pretend to be the government, have been engaging in the last 100 years, are we not held responsible?
Well, the problem with that, with the logic of going down that road, Paul, is this. You cannot, first of all, other countries don't have necessarily the petition process or the ability to redress grievances even by cardboard signs. They'd be mowed down immediately, and it wouldn't be wise for them to do that. Second of all, the same logic was used to invade the South and slaughter off innocent people. Remember, some people said, well, some Southerners own slaves. It was something like, you know, 4% of Southerners owned slaves. Less than 1% actually had chain gangs and plantations. Because your neighbor did that, they said you were guilty by association for living in the same state because you didn't spend all your might and all your time going down to trying to change rules. Or even if you did and didn't succeed, it didn't matter because you didn't succeed in changing the system as it was. You deserve to die. That was the death penalty that Sherman and Lincoln imposed upon the South, and this was simply wrong. You can't, as a Christian, force other people to be killed, or force people to kill other people because their neighbors have done something that's wrong. In Japan, I don't know about who these people were. My guess is they're like normal people everywhere else. They're living under tyranny of some dictator, and they're being forced to live that way, not because they voted for him or they like it that way, but because that's just the way things are, and they have to go along and struggle to survive. Those people, even if they fight or don't fight to get rid of the dictator, are not culpable of the sins of the nation, so to speak, and therefore should not be subjected to capital punishment. From a Christian worldview point of view, we cannot justify this sort of thing, if that makes any sense, any more than we can make justification for Lincoln coming down to the South, or Sherman doing his march to the sea, or Butler doing his right to rape order in New Orleans. It just can't be.
Well, that's certainly food for thought for me, but and something I will think about. But I think somewhat of a point that I usually agree with you, and this one point that you're not that I'm saying I disagree with you. It's something I'm going to think about and see, do a little more studying on. But yet you put some very good points up that I hadn't thought about before.
Okay, Paul.
But you're right. If you're innocent, I think the key word there is innocent. If people are innocent, we don't, and nobody has the right to attack or give a death penalty to an innocent person. And that's perhaps something I wasn't, who is innocent, what is innocent.
Right. Well, we appreciate the call this morning. We're just coming up against a quick break. If you'd like to continue the discussion, we can come back. You can hold on, but we need to run.
That's enough. Okay. I have to head on to work now.
Okay.
But a great show, and thanks for making me keep making me, think about new old ideas in a new way.
That's what we try to do here at Christian Worldview. Thanks for the call, Paul. Talk to you again real soon, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, having a rather exciting show. I know a number of webcast listeners and others just joining us late, but you really missed a rousing first half of the show as we talked about people dying and innocent people dying in war, nuclear bombs, had Paul calling about the Hiroshima attacks, and we had some very interesting discussion about us from scriptural and Christian worldview point of view when it comes to killing other people and self-defense. Before we get to talk more about that now, we want to tell you that weather in the upstate is as follows. Greenville-Spartanburg Airport, 73 degrees. Downtown Greenville, 74. Anderson and Clemson checking in at 72. Today, partly cloudy with a chance of showers this morning, then mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Highs in the mid-80s, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. A chance of rain is set at 60%, so if you're still getting ready to get on your way to work, make sure you have some gear ready to combat the wet weather. We have some events we want to talk to you about. Remember, tyrannyresponse.com is the place to go to find out about the events in the upstate of South Carolina, whether it's the Greenville County Libertarian Party, the South Carolina Constitution Party. Their meeting's coming up a week from Thursday. The Libertarian Party's this week, Thursday. The League of the South, which is also meeting next Thursday. The Institute on the Constitution, which just completed at South Points Baptist Church here down in Pelzer. And there's a new one coming. In fact, I'll just give you a quick announcement on that right now. Institute on the Constitution is going to have five consecutive Saturdays for those who couldn't make the Monday night meeting. August 6th, 13th, 20th, 27th, and September 3rd are going to be the times where you can go and sit and listen to the Institute on the Constitution, 8:30 a.m. to noon. It's going to be hosted by Bible Baptist Church, 2522 Gentry Memorial Highway, that's Highway Number 8, in Pickens, South Carolina, 29671. To call and discuss this, give a call to Gene Papke at 275-4737 or to Mark Dibbler at 421-2714. And they can register you, enroll you in the class, and let you carry on the great discussions and so forth that we encountered earlier, who graduated from the recent one in Pelzer. If you go to the events tab also here at the tyrannyresponse.com website, you'll find that the current week we have the Patriot meeting last night, Libertarian Party business meeting tomorrow night, and the Carolina Patriots will meet again in Fountain Inn on Friday. And then next week, again, as I mentioned, on Thursday, you have conflicting meetings, League of the South and the Constitution Party. Hopefully some of you can make it out to those events. Be glad if you would. Make use of the tyrannyresponse.com website for all sorts of news and events that go on here in the upstate, especially for Christians to be active in their world and to think about public policy theology, to listen to audio files related to that under the audio tab, as well as to be familiar with the events and other groups and organizations that are fighting for the truth in our day and age. Now, going back to the discussion earlier, we've been talking about private property this morning. We've been talking about fundamental rights, when Christians can actually fight to defend things and be a promoter of peace. And the way I said earlier that people promote peace, become peacemakers, according to Matthew 5 or Hebrews chapter 12, pursuing peace with all men, or James 3:18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace, is not merely giving people the Romans road of salvation, of preaching the gospel to them. And people need to hear the gospel, for without the gospel, they go to hell. They have no hope in life without the gospel. This is very true. We don't deny that whatsoever. That's the fundamental issue. But the gospel spreads to other areas of life. We can go on and actually make a claim for Jesus Christ in different areas, whether it's public policy, whether it's computer science, economics, auto mechanics, it doesn't matter. We can apply the principles of God's Word to the way we conduct business, to the way we form government structures, to the way we deal with public policy. And Paul and some others have been talking, and we've been talking about the whole issue of warfare, when you can actually aggress another nation, well, you can't, when you can defend yourself against another nation, and that's to promote life, liberty, and property in general. And what do you do about innocent people that die? Well, and in warfare, there's always going to be innocents who die. It's a regrettable, unfortunate thing that there's not only friendly fire, but innocent people on the other side are going to be killed. There are people who do not want to be involved with a war. Many of us do not want to be involved with George Bush's war, and we would be very, very nonplussed, to say the least, if somebody came over here saying, we need to knock out George Bush for his aggressive behavior, and all of a sudden they start killing some of my kids accidentally. They didn't intend to, they just do. Kill some innocent people like my family who has nothing to do with George Bush's war and has actually been fighting against it. I would be very nonplussed about that, and I imagine if it was your family, you would be too. And well, that's the same thing about people in Iraq or any other nation. They're just people struggling to survive, and they're going along their lives, and they've got a tyrant over them and all these other things. Another tyrant comes in and attacks them. It's a real bad deal. There's no justification for us to kill these innocent people. I mean, it would be horrible if it happened here, and it's horrible if it happens there. Their lives are very disruptive. If you've lived outside of the country at all, as I have, you begin to have a different perspective as you see other people simply living their lives, just trying to get along, struggling to get on their way. It's especially true of Christians. And the Bible teaches us, and I'm going to read for you, Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Well, what does that scripture mean? It says your primary obligation as a Christian is to the church, to the other believers in the world. You have an obligation to them. You have an obligation to them to do the right thing. And you must never do anything to them to kill them. You can't. Unless, of course, one goes insane and starts aggressing you. Then you have no choice, all right? You can't check his Christian credentials when he comes in the door in the middle of the night with his, you know, with his 357 or his 454, whatever he's got to blow away your family. You just got to shoot and ask questions later. There's nothing you can do about that. When he starts to sin, there's consequences for him having a sinful behavior. But you can't go hunt down another brother and tell you're loving your brother in Christ. You can't just go and say, I know there's a church in Baghdad, there's few evangelicals there, I'm going to go and blow it away. God didn't do that with Sodom and Gomorrah, now did he? How can you go ahead and do it to Iraq or any other place where there are Christians? You can't. As a Christian, you cannot kill innocent brothers and sisters. There's just no way. It's wrong. It's a sinful act, and we Christians cannot support it in public policy. But notice the scripture as I read it again here. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Not just Christians, but let us do good to all. It just says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. The commandment is still that we should do good to all. We have no right to go and attack people that are non-Christians either. Your primary reason should be because they're believers there, but even if there weren't, you are not called upon to rain fire and brimstone down on people as God did on Sodom and Gomorrah. You're not called upon to be as as Moses did in attacking Og, king of Bashan, or as Joshua did in attacking Ai or Jericho or any of these other cities and wiping them out. You have no right to believe that George Bush is Joshua in this day and age. He is not. And you are not the people of Israel in the sense that the old covenant was, where you actually have an army to go in and aggress the world. We are not the world's policemen. We are not those who carry on these kinds of wars of so-called genocide. Now, when God commanded us to do that as a people, it would be different, but he didn't. The Old Testament theocracy is a non-repeatable event. It's something that does not continue to go on. And when this professor stood up and started telling my son that, he's probably listening now as he's driving to school, when he told him that, she told him that at North Greenville College, a Christian college, she was mistaken and in defiance of God's word, and she does not have a Christian worldview. She's spouting something that she learned elsewhere. Something outside the Bible. Something that's spouted on the Festival of Ignorance show that goes on at 6:60 a.m. from 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning. Or on the Russ Castle show or whatever else that's happening in Greenville. I don't know where she learned it. It's either from the media or from her foul schooling or from a bad theology. But it needs to be corrected. It's a wrong-headed approach. It's something that is a sinful activity for Christians to engage in. Listen to Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Another seminal verse that you should have committed to memory if you want to talk about public policy, especially on how we can do justice in this world. It says this, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love does no harm to a neighbor. I'm not talking about a neighbor that's aggressing you, that you have to defend yourself against. We're talking about somebody who's sitting quietly, peacefully by you, conducting his own affairs, trying to struggle and get by in life and do what his service is to God. You can't go and kill that guy. You can't just wound up and say, I'm just going to waste him because, you know, I want to. Or you can't say, furthermore, that, you know, this guy lives in the United States of America and, you know, abortion is legal in the United States of America. Now, I know he voted against abortion and he doesn't like it, but I'm going to kill him anyway. He's guilty by association with George W. Bush, the Supreme Court, and so forth. I have a right to aggress him. That's the logic, folks. That's illogical. You can't be loving and do harm to this neighbor by killing him like that or doing any and hassling him in any way. It's not a Christian ethic. It's an ethic that has to be jettisoned from our minds if we're going to be following the Word of God and His truth in this world. So, there I am on my soapbox this morning. Don't I often get on my soapbox? I guess I do. But that's my job. Folks, you're not going to hear this word from your pastors. You want to know why? They're scared they're going to lose their jobs if they start talking the way Dr. Coben does. They don't want to be out there going out on a limb and saying these harsh things to you because they sound horrible, like George Bush might be in sin and you might be in sin for following him, or you might be in sin for putting your children in a public school. You're not, you know, there's all these other things that I call you on the carpet about. Guess who's not willing to do that? Your pastor. Why? Because he knows that you hold the money. And if you make he makes things a little too uncomfortable for you, you're going to boot him. That's what your pastor feels. You know how I know that? Because I speak to them. They're glad to have me out here at least telling you the truth, some of them. Others don't care. Others are just neocons and actually believe the opposite of a Christian worldview. In fact, I'd say most do. But besides that, we can say that many pastors don't want to go out on a limb. You're not going to hear a sermon in which the pastor says, you know what, if you're taking welfare or receiving a Social Security check, you're in sin because you're stealing from somebody else. And the Bible says, you shall not steal, period. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no longer. And if you're stealing from people through the welfare state, I don't care if it's legal or not, you are sinning. It's wrong. You've got to stop it. I'm not saying you can't repent or God isn't going to be gracious to you. I'm just saying you got to stop justifying that your actions are okay or right and stop doing what's wrong. That should be simple enough, isn't it? The same thing is true about supporting aggressive warfare. You cannot, as a Christian, you may not, under God's command, support the slaughter of innocent human beings anywhere, whether it's in the womb of the baby or the mother or and the baby in the womb or the zygote or the fetus or what people want to call the undeveloped human being that's there, or if it's people in Iraq that are fully developed trying to carry on their lives or Afghanistan or anywhere else, North Korea, Iran, wherever the next stop is. You cannot be supportive of these kinds of things as a Christian and be in good standing. You need to be called to the carpet on this, and you need to change your worldview and your thinking about it. And that's what we're trying to do here at Christian Worldview. We're trying to help you think a little bit better. Just a quick ad before we go to the break. The Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including Dr. Coben, Dr. Walter Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Dr. Marvin Olasky, Ben Graydon, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and contributions from the homeschooling Sheen family. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full-year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576 to get a subscription going. You can also call David at 859-6817. That's 859-6817. Ask specifically for David if you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner, and he'll help you do so, help your business, help promote a good cause and promote your business as well. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And one thing we've been promoting here at Christian Worldview is the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. You can find a link to this petition if you just go to tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com, go to the related media tab, scroll down until you see the petition to redress grievances. That is the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. I'm going to read that to you and tell you the current tally. And we'd like to encourage our listeners to go there as soon as possible. Take 30 seconds out of your day. Sign your name on the petition. After you hear what it is, you'll see why you want to do that. And help make a difference in your government. And in addition to signing your name, copy the link, copy and paste, you know, that function with your computer, and send it out to as many friends that you know in South Carolina and ask them to sign it and send it on. That's how these kind of petitions begin to grow, as people begin to sign it themselves and then email it to their friends to sign. Make sure you do both important steps. We don't just need your signature on it. We need to have it spread as far and wide as possible. Here's what it says. To the South Carolina Legislature, a petition for redress of grievances, according to the First Amendment. We, the people of South Carolina, petition the South Carolina Legislature to approve and declare the following proposed amendment to the South Carolina Constitution, whereby the inalienable nature of our rights will plainly be decreed as unalterable, irreversible. Be it resolved that we, the people of South Carolina, hereby declare and affirm that the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and property, or the pursuit of happiness set forth in the Declaration of Independence and the Fifth Amendment Bill of Rights of the Constitution are fundamental rights, which were derived antecedent to the existence of the state, as manifest in both the United States federal government and the state of South Carolina. As such, the state does not grant rights to life, liberty, or property. On the contrary, the primary reason that government is formed is to protect rights to life, liberty, and property, and no South Carolinian or American holds his fundamental rights at the pleasure of the state. Furthermore, we the people of South Carolina declare and affirm that in particular that all human beings are equal sharers to the right to life, and the state may not abridge the right to life in any particular human being or class of human beings without due process of law and subsequent conviction of a capital offense. All human beings are equal sharers in the right to liberty, and that the state may not forcibly enslave, conscript, or incarcerate a human being without due process of law and subsequent conviction of a crime. All human beings are equal sharers in the right to hold and enjoy property, so long as their pursuit of happiness does not infringe upon the rights of other human beings, and the state may not take private property without due process of law, or take it for public use without just compensation. Such public uses include highways, dams, bridges, government office buildings, military installations, and similar public projects. Other uses, such as increasing local tax revenues, clearing urban blight, removing church buildings, promoting urban development, and similar proactive public interest or public welfare schemes, are not contemplated in the phrase for public use. The phrase just compensation refers to market value based on comparable properties and would not preclude the government from paying relocation expenses. With steadfast determination, sincerely, the undersigned, here in South Carolina. And so far, since we started the petition last week, we have 227 total signatures. We need a lot more signatures than that. And the only way we're going to get signatures is if you who are listening today go and say, that was obvious, that all of us should be able to sign that petition. Sign it, and then send the link to other people and have them sign it as well. We've had Constitution parties and Libertarian people sign this, obviously, but we've also had a whole host of Republicans and even Democrats signing this policy. Some people are surprised by that. I even had one person sign in the comment. You can read these comments they write, by the way, if you go to the website there where the posting is. And it says, I'm a bleeding heart liberal Democrat, and I hate what the government has done to us here and the private property in the Kelo case, and we're going to go ahead and support private property by signing this. And so even Democrats, all political parties are signing this. It's not a partisan measure. It's one that they should all be able to agree with. And we're hoping so. We got lots of folks to do so here with the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. Go and sign it today, folks. Don't neglect to do it. It's important that you do so. Well, we haven't had a chance to get to too many stories today. We've been so busy talking about something really important. That is, what are fundamental rights? Are they worth fighting for? When is it a just war? When do we not, can we not use weapons of mass destruction? What do we know about the Christian worldview in terms of these issues? And we find that society or Christians in this society know very little about the Christian worldview. We're here to try to change all that, and we've been working on that this morning as much as possible. Pick up a copy of the Times Examiner and you'll find my current series of articles, or go to the website policyofliberty.net. That's policyofliberty.net. You'll see the archives of all my articles, including future articles on the rights, just war, and public policy theology. The last series I just did was on the Second Amendment and public policy theology. When do Christians have the right to resist? What kinds of resistance should they use? Assassination, weapons of mass destruction, those things have not only been answered on the Today Show, but they've been answered in these articles, and you can go ahead and pick those up and feast your eyes on that eye candy, and listen also to the audio files, which have been recorded of these in an MP3 format. You can listen to your MP3 player, give them to people on CDs, and spread the truth around. Remember, the Declaration of Independence said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Remember that? We're endowed by that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with a certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and property, or the pursuit of happiness. Those things are inalienable rights that we have as Americans, and people don't realize the importance of these things. Once those rights are obliterated, once government becomes the purveyor of rights, the one who grants you your rights, then all chaos literally breaks loose. Hell on earth breaks loose. You have pandemonium, mayhem. You have the loss of private property, the degradation of the environment. You have poverty. You have misery. You have war. That's what happens when you don't protect these rights. And we who sow peace in the world have to be careful to do so, as I've said earlier in the show. And we encourage Christians to read these articles from the Times Examiner on the website policyofliberty.net. Spread around the word to other people and help make a difference in your world. Start out by signing that petition I've just mentioned, the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition, and then move forward. When we come back from the break here, we're going to be starting to talk about a few articles we haven't done, or just news stories from the day, and that some things are interesting things are happening, even though we've taken such a long pause here to discuss this very important topic. Look forward to your phone calls and continuing when we get back with Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Isn't that something? I'll tell you what, folks. Where else do you hear on radio the Bill of Rights being read to you? Well, you're going to hear it here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and on the Tyranny Response Network throughout the day, just to remind us about the Bill of Rights, what they are, help us to know our rights. If we don't know our rights, we're going to be subject to being losing them or having them abused, aren't we? I'll tell you what. That was a really long break, I know. We thought it was worthwhile to read the Bill of Rights, so the production staff put that into our playlist break. We want to tell you the quick weather if you're looking forward to going outside today. Greenville, Spartanburg, 73 degrees or 74 downtown Greenville, 72 degrees in Anderson and Clemson. Today, partly cloudy with a chance of showers this morning, then mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Highs in the mid-80s, southwest winds, 10 to 15 miles per hour. The chance of rain is set at 60%, so be prepared for that wet weather as you make your way out. Well, we have a lot of news stories we actually could be covering today, and I'm going to try to cover just a few of them here, and they're important to do. Been an exciting show up to this point, and glad you've joined us. Hope we're helping you think better today. This is a station designed to help you think better. That's our purpose. Here's one. The United Nations declares war on America. This is from Rodney Stubbs, News with Views. This is actually last year's article. It's a little bit old, but it's a good article to review here a little bit. The United Nations unveiled a sweeping proposal to overhaul the organization, including the Security Council, what would be the biggest UN reform since its founding in 1945, according to a press release posted by Worldwide News Agency. The long-awaited charter amendment that increases a policy for world governance is now being unveiled. The only thing missing is the implementation phase that will commence when Annan retires in 2006. That phase will likely be led by none other than William Jefferson Clinton. Citing the bitter divisions over the war in Iraq, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan ordered a high-level panel last year to come up with a blueprint for the 21st century. The blueprint eliminates representative government and destroys the Constitution of the United States. And this is something we're very concerned about. The United Nations is one of our enemies. In fact, there's a petition online that shows that we have the United Nations as an enemy. We need to tell the United States government we want it out of our affairs. We want the United States to be out of the United Nations entirely. They don't bother us. We don't bother them, period. And we need to support that as a Christian worldview. We're not in favor of our Constitution being subjected or subjugated to United Nations rule. Now, believe it or not, because we have that long Bill of Rights section, we're up against our next break, and we're going to be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor, It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And here's an interesting article that Doug Taylor, the president of the Upstate Libertarian Society, or chairman, I guess he is, sent in. He always sends in interesting articles, and we're glad to read them on the air. This one's called "Hoodwinked: DDT-Eating Scientist Exposes Eco-Fraud." If there's any man who defined the word environmentalist, it is the recently deceased J. Gordon Edwards. Edwards was an author, a park ranger, a legendary mountain climber, and an esteemed entomologist. In 1962, when Rachel Carson published her breakthrough book on the environment, Silent Spring, Edwards was delighted. The young scientist eagerly raced through the first several chapters, but as he did, his anticipation eroded into uneasiness. I noticed many statements that I realized were false. Attracted by Carson's message, Edwards tried to overlook the misstatements or rationalize them away, but increasingly he could not. As I neared the middle of the book, he adds, the feeling grew in my mind that Rachel Carson was really playing loose with the facts. In 1962, however, Edwards was doing field work in Wyoming. He was scarcely in a position, either through prestige or geography, to challenge Carson's book, one that Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas was hailing as the most important chronicle of the century for the human race. Rachel Carson, however, had little interest in that race. There is no mistaking her position on man or his attempts to assert his mastery over nature. The control of nature is a phrase conceived in arrogance, writes Carson. Born of the Neanderthal age of biology and philosophy, when it was supposed that nature exists for the convenience of man. Today, Carson, and that's also, by the way, it's very similar to the Christian worldview, which he's attacking. Today, Carson's geocentric smugness is the stuff of science fairs and after-school specials, but then it had, at least that's after public school specials. It doesn't happen after homeschools, hopefully. It doesn't in our homeschool, at any rate. But then it had the power to shock the system. Carson derived much of that power from the Gothic literary fair. The title of the book derives from an opening fable, which a strange blight has crept over an imagined American town, casting its evil spell and spreading a strange stillness across the land. Throughout the book, Carson uses words like toxins, contaminants, hazards, death-dealing materials, and inevitable poison, where others might use the word chemical or insecticide, and she never lets up. As Edwards and others have argued, millions of people might be alive today who aren't if Carson had turned her talents into fiction or identified her work as such. For the one poison that truly provoked her literary rage was her... Oh, I can't pronounce the thing. It's DDT. The DDT, the spray that they used to get rid of mosquitoes with, and pesticide. A German scientist and the author of Otto Zeidler had first composed this chemical compound in 1874, but did not suggest a use for it. In Switzerland, in 1939, Dr. Paul Muller was looking for chemicals that might kill insect pests when he came across Zeidler's written directions for preparing DDT. Muller perfected it and applied it in 1948, received the Nobel Prize for his work with it. Had Gordon Edwards been in a position to cast a vote that year on Mueller's behalf, he certainly would have done so. While on duty in Italy in 1944, he and the other soldiers of his company had been plagued by body lice. That lice was spreading typhus among the troops, a disease that had killed 3 million people in Europe during and after the previous war. To check the developing epidemic, the scientists at Merck & Company in New Jersey produced the first 500 pounds of American-made DDT, rushed it to the airport, and flew it to Italy. There, Edwards got the order to dust every soldier in his company with a DDT powder. For 2 weeks straight, he did just that, breathing the fog of white dust just as he did so. Much to everyone's relief, the DDT worked, and the epidemic was checked. The Surgeon General estimated that the DDT had saved the lives of 5,000 soldiers. After the war, inspired by this experience, Edwards went to get his Ph.D. in entomology from The Ohio State University and eventually headed out to San Jose State University, where he taught medical entomology courses for more than 30 years. Carson's iconic status never slowed Edwards down. In a series of articles and very public presentations, he exposed Carson and others like her who would deceive the public to advance their cause. When Carson alludes to increased bird deaths during the DDT era, Edwards responds, "It is possible that Carson is unaware of the great increases in mammals and bird and game birds. Her claim that robins were on the verge of extinction because of DDT and related chemicals, he reveals to be transparently untrue. Observers, he points out, spotted 12 times more robins in the DDT era than before. As to her claim that DDT was originally tested as an agent of death for man, this he calls despicable. At the end of the day, beyond all reasonable doubt, Edwards revealed Carson's claim that DDT is deadly to be completely false. Not afraid to put his mouth where his moxie was." That's fraud. Moxie is fraud. Edwards took to swallowing a tablespoon of DDT on stage before every lecture on the subject. In September 1971, Esquire magazine pictured Edwards doing just that. The accompanying text explained that Edwards had eaten 200 times the normal human intake of DDT, did not even consider the gesture risky. In the year 1959, for instance, unprotected workmen had applied 60,000 tons of DDT to the inside walls of 100 million homes in America. Neither the 130,000 workmen nor the 535 million people living in the sprayed houses had experienced any adverse effects. Today, more than 40 years after Carson's death, the struggle over DDT use continues. One Western country over another has followed America's lead and outlawed the chemical. In his bold and meticulously documented 2004 novel State of Fear, Michael Crichton describes this ban as arguably the greatest tragedy of the 20th century, provides the mortality statistics to back him up. Like Crichton, J. Gordon Edwards was not afraid to tackle the naturalist establishment. He cited the 500 million saved lives at the National Academy of Sciences attributed to DDT. He echoed the World Health Organization's affirmation that no substance had ever proved more beneficial to man, and then he dared to question publicly why Rachel Carson and her followers chose to ignore the undeniable human benefits of DDT. In Carson's case, the answer is apparently on every other page of Silent Spring. Straightforward as always, Edwards described the Carson philosophy as a lack of concern for human lives. She could vividly describe the death of a bird, notes Edwards, but nowhere in the book does she even think to describe the death of a human by insect-borne disease. For the record, research activities of this DDT-eating scientist finally caught up with him. Edwards died of a heart attack while climbing Divide Mountain in Glacier National Park, where he held the unofficial title as the patron saint of climbing. He was 84 years old. The myth of DDT is one spread by these environmental wacko doctrine or the people that hold to it, and it's a very sad thing because it's been such a beneficial thing to man to have, and now that they've taken away, millions are dying. This is against right life, folks. It's another way that the leftists are trying to take away the right to life, and they're doing so through the environmental movement. We need to be aware of it at Christian Worldview. Expose it and stand firm against it as good soldiers of Christ. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben up to the last break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And welcome back to Christian Worldview. Just a few minutes left, just trying to touch the tops of the trees here with a few news stories. Here's the Independent Online from the UK. It says explosive used in bombs was of military origin. Interestingly enough, by Jason Benedetto, a crime correspondent. The bombs used in Thursday's terrorist attacks in London were of military origin, according to the senior French policeman who sent to London to help of what was become the biggest criminal investigation in British history. So that's interesting. What if it is actually a military origin? Does that mean the military had something to do with it? Well, we don't know, but we're open to listening here at Christian Worldview. California libertarian near the front in crowded San Diego Memorial mayoral race. Well, wouldn't that be interesting? Only in San Diego would we expect a libertarian to be in the front of the pack. I don't know about only in San Diego. But anyway, said Michael Marcotti, moderator of KCBS panel televised May 22nd about the candidates in the San Diego, California mayoral race. Maybe people are just more interested in about liberty than they are about having socialism in their area. The libertarian in question is Richard Ryder, a chairman of the successful San Diego Tax Fighters and one of 11 active candidates for the special mayoral election to be held in July 26th. And Marcotti wasn't alone in his estimation of Ryder's chances of success in this race. Ryder, a retired stockbroker and financial planner, has routinely been named as one of the few top candidates. Others include former San Diego police chief and a city councilwoman. This isn't Ryder's first run for office. Since 1988, he's run for office several times for county supervisor, county treasurer, state assembly, governor, and Congress. The race, he says, is different. San Diego's in trouble, and the city needs a mayor who's dedicated to lowering taxes and solving the city's problems in fiscally responsible way. Interesting. We'll keep an eye on the San Diego race for mayor as it continues to transpire. House bill restricts the Patriot Act powers. This is good news. Washington Times reports Stephen Dinn in writing, July 12th. We will consider suggestions for clarifying and strengthening the act, she said. We appreciate Chairman Sensenbrenner's action today as a strong demonstration of the importance of these tools to law enforcement to combat terrorism. Asked specifically about the failure to include administrative subpoenas, she said, "The legislative process is just beginning, and we will continue to work with Congress as it moves forward. Our number one priority is reauthorization of the act as it passed in 2001. Outside Congress, critics of the Patriot Act said Mr. Sensenbrenner doesn't go far enough in limiting its scope. It is a start, but it doesn't address meaningful ways some of the most significant flaws in the Patriot Act," said Lisa Graves, a lawyer for the Monitors of Legislation for the American Civil Liberties Union. The ACLU and others had hoped Mr. Sensenbrenner would also rewrite some of the provisions that weren't set to expire, but that critics said were too intrusive or didn't offer enough of a judicial check on investigative powers. Republicans, though, said they have never been presented with any evidence that the Patriot Act provisions have been abused. What a bunch of nonsense. The House has signaled Mr. Bush may not win renewal for extension of the Patriot Act passed previously without some modification. The Senate Intelligence Committee, meanwhile, has passed a bill that does grant the President some expanded powers, including administrative subpoenas. Well, that's sad to know, but the House, it seems, that is not as closely divided, I guess, with these Republican scoundrels as it is, was willing to pass fewer things than, as far as anti-liberty things in the Senate at the moment. Although I wouldn't trust any of these guys, frankly. They're all pretty much in, you know, cahoots. Well, what else have we got here going on? Oh, there's just too many things to read. You know what? I'm just going to have to... We're going to close our show today with talking about... Well, my producer handed me a Pledge of the Constitution. He wants me to read. Here's a Pledge of the Constitution. I pledge allegiance to the Constitution of the American States United, to the Republic in which it was created, implementing God's governmental plan for man, and asking His blessing for its observance, which will provide liberty and justice for all. Well, that's an interesting card. Appreciate that very much. Okay. What a good way to come close to the end of the show. Remember to go and go to tyrannyresponse.net and check out the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition and sign that. Remember to read about the great upcoming events here in the South Carolina area and the upstate area. And remember to listen to the audio files that are located there and read the articles in the Times Examiner, policyofliberty.net, my webpage, policyofliberty.net. All the exciting things going on in our thinking help you think better as Christians as you try to espouse the views of liberty, the principles of the founding fathers, and better enhance the Christian worldview. Don't be discouraged, folks. We can still go forward and win this fight. We just have to begin to re-educate and retool, get people out of the public schools, get them understanding the Christian worldview again rather than the pagan worldview, the secular worldview that's taught in those kinds of places and in the media, and even at Christian colleges like North Greenville College, where my son attends and has been currently being in a battle in an English class, as we mentioned earlier, with those kinds of folks. We can win because people can be changed in their thinking through the gospel and also through an understanding of the Bible and what we have in this country and the principles that support the biblical and Christian worldview here. So by all means, avail yourselves of these great tools. It's been a great show today. I've been glad to have the caller and also glad to have you listening. Look forward to having you tomorrow again for another edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben.